Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 214-214. And the topic for today's show, very loosely, is from ancient history to modern mystery. So today's episode is one of those which we do from time to time. Instead of having a guest on the show, we take a slightly different path and just to sort of ring the changes. And today is one of those. Before we begin, just mentioning the websites. If you haven't been to any of the websites recently, it's always good to go and have another look because, you know, things change. New blogs go up, new services go up. Just things change. So janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H. Or if you want to go to the learning platform, dream-academy-online.com, or find me on social media and particularly on Instagram. So here we go, from ancient history to modern mystery. And first of all, I'm reading out a blog that I wrote for the Dream Academy in July 2017 called Dream Therapy Ancient Greek Style. How well do you think you would sleep if there were snakes slithering around the floor of your room? Even if they were assuredly non-venomous, would you sleep enough to dream? If you lived in ancient Greece around the 4th and 5th centuries BC, so that's around 2,500 years ago, and felt in need of healing, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, you might have booked yourself in for dream therapy at one of the many healing temples dedicated to Asclepius, the god of healing, also known as the first physician. Priests and dream interpreter healers staffed the temples. And Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, who lived around 460 to 370 BC, was a key researcher and healer working within these temples. And then there were the non-venomous snakes, purposefully placed on the dormitory floors. But let's start at the beginning. In ancient Greece, your dream therapy sessions went something like this. On arrival, you have a series of baths and cleansing rituals, including purges, both physical and emotional. Emotional purging commonly involved expression through art, painting, drawing, or sculpture. Then you enter the incubation phase, sleeping in the dormitory with the snakes, expecting, after all the cleansing and purging, to have a significant dream. In the morning, the dream therapy proper begins, as you tell your dream to a priest or a dream interpreter healer, depending on the nature of the dream. A priest would offer a prayer, while a dream interpreter healer would diagnose your situation, your disease, and prescribe healing. Healing might be medicinal, with natural medicine, herbs or food, or might be a task to do, such as more art. Hippocrates was believed to include dream interpretation in his medical diagnoses. Some temple healers induce patients into a sleep-like trance and base diagnosis and healing on visions received during the trance. Now, I don't know what kind of techniques the healers used to interpret dreams or how their dream interpretation compared to professional dream analysis and interpretation today, but the element of dream alchemy is there in the post-interpretation prescription of symbolic tasks designed to promote healing. Dream therapy today involves sessions with a dream therapist, during which dreams are explored and used as the material for growth and healing, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. In my case, I add dream alchemy as a key part of the therapy. As so far in all these years, most dream therapy has been conducted with both myself and my clients seated, no snakes involved. But you want to know more about the snakes, don't you? Asclepius' symbol was the rod of Asclepius, a single snake entwined around a stick. So the snakes were placed in the temples in honor of Asclepius and in the name of healing. There's no common agreement on the ancient Greek symbolism of snakes and healing, but it's most likely that snakes, due to the fact that they shed their skins when they grow, were taken to represent the shedding of disease and the growth of a new, healthy mind-body. They may also have represented the challenge of healing, the line between death and life, poison and purification. Hippocrates, who worked as a healer in the temples, is remembered as the founder of the Hippocratic School of Medicine. He developed the Hippocratic Oath, still sworn by doctors in modern medicine today. Originally, and accurately, the universal symbol of medicine is the rod of Asclepius, the single snake, no wings. But in some places, and particularly in North America, this has been confused with and replaced by the caduceus, which has two snakes and wings. The caduceus was the staff of the god Hermes and originally represented commerce, wisdom, and alchemy. So there's an overlap. There's alchemy in the caduceus. In 2017, Australian artist Barbara Courteil painted a portrait of me as seen through her eyes. Now, if you go to my blog on the Dream Academy in July 2017, which I'm reading from at the moment, you'll actually see a picture of the portrait that Barbara Courteil did. So what I'm going to say now probably make more sense if you have a quick look at the picture first. If you do have a look, you'll see that much of the portrait is dominated by a huge golden snake. Now, I didn't know how Barbara was going to portray me, but she said later that the snake in my portrait represents the ancient and modern dream therapist healer, as well as Kundalini, since I am a long-term yoga practitioner. According to yoga, Kundalini, symbolized by the snake, is the energy coiled at the base of the spine that is awakened through yoga to ascend the length of the spine and bring enlightenment. In my work as a dream therapist, I help people to awaken to their unconscious, to become conscious of their full self, enlightened. I also have a gold pendant totem, created for me in honor of a dream I once had of two snakes entwined. I also have a pearl necklace that I love to wear, and Barbara has placed a pearl in the snake's mouth at my third eye in my portrait. We might ask, what does a snake mean in a dream? Or what does a full moon, or a pearl, or the color indigo, which all appear in my portrait, mean in a dream? Dreams are unique and personal, and the true art and science of dream interpretation, dream analysis, dream alchemy, and dream therapy involves drawing out the personal meanings of the symbols and dramas of a dream. Maybe I could create some group dream therapy retreats and bring some real, writhing snakes into the bedrooms. Or maybe not. But if you'd like to book dream therapy sessions with me or take my dream therapy online courses, don't worry. There are no visible snakes involved. So you're ready to work with your dreams and you've plenty recorded in your dream journal. So where's the best place to start? And this is a blog that I wrote also on the Dream Academy blog roll in December 2018 called The Most Important Dreams to Interpret. I have so many dreams. Where should I begin? Which are the most important dreams to interpret? When you become practiced and adept at interpreting your dreams, you'll look through each night's catch and have a pretty good feeling for their meaning and a strong sense of which one to focus on. Or you might decide that an overview is sufficient and save your energies for a future, more compelling dream. But when you're just starting out, either keen to try your newly learned dream interpretation skills or to book a dream consultation, Which dream should you choose first? Let's begin by looking through the eyes of clients who book a first session. What types of dreams do they prioritize? Most clients book a first session with me because of a nightmare or recurring dream theme. Next in popularity for first sessions are dreams with strong negative emotions such as anger, grief, or anxiety. And dreams of death, accidents, and illnesses are also high on the list for first appointments, as people are worried that these might be warning or predictive dreams. Other first-timers bring dreams that have inspired them, or dreams that have raised their curiosity, dreams that they feel hold insight about their direction in life, or that feel mysteriously ripe with potential healing or spiritual wisdom. And finally, there are those who've been listening to the dream show or reading my books and blogs and decide that they want to treat themselves to a dream consultation. Now, these dreamers nearly always bring last night's dream. Now, think about that for a moment. These clients book a session several days in advance, perhaps with a dream in mind, then have an enticing dream the night before their appointment. Has their dreaming mind taken advantage of the upcoming consultation and lined up the perfect dream, encapsulating the dreamer's unconscious priorities? Or has each dreamer taken to heart the knowledge that last night's dreams are perhaps the most pertinent, since they reflect what's happening right now for the dreamer? Here's my advice on the most important dreams to interpret. Number one, nightmares, recurring dreams, or recurring dream themes. Nightmares are processing your fears and anxieties, and interpreting these dreams helps you to gain deeper insight into your unconscious fears and anxieties and how they are affecting your life. Applying dream alchemy helps in managing and overcoming these feelings, releasing you from recurrence of the nightmares and into a more comfortable flow in day-to-day life. Recurring dreams or recurring dream themes, especially ones that have unsatisfactory endings or are unresolved, reflect recurring, unresolved waking life issues. Prioritizing these dreams quickly cuts to the chase of issues that have kept you stuck, and interpretation combined with dream alchemy brings much needed resolution. The next category is emotionally charged dreams. So dreams with heightened, challenging emotions such as anger, grief, and anxiety need urgent attention. These dreams help you to identify conscious or unconscious emotions that are most likely blocking or limiting you. They can also be key pressure cooker dreams where your dreaming mind is trying to release repressed emotions. The release is good, but understanding what's going on can give you the tools you need to deal with the associated waking life issues. The third category is vivid dreams. And by vivid dreams, I mean dreams with strong, uplifting emotions or vividly sensual colours, sounds, textures. These dreams often come at times of breakthrough or near breakthrough, and interpretation assists in supporting you through your next steps into your new way of being. The next category of important dreams to prioritize are dreams about trying to solve a problem. Now, this is not in any main category for people consulting me for the first time. These dreams probably don't feel important enough, but they are. The problem a dream is trying to solve is not the actual problem you're facing in waking life, but interpreting the dream helps you to identify the waking life problem and your blocks, conscious and unconscious, and discover real solutions. So problem-solving dreams are an excellent choice for priority interpretation. The next category of important dreams to prioritise is dreams about the past. Any dream that has strong elements from the past, for example, your childhood home, an ex-partner, a job you once had, holds insight on how your past is still influencing your present, and most likely unconsciously. Dreams process the last 1 to 2 days, but when those recent experiences resonate with the past or are influenced by the past, you may see symbols from the past in the dream. Interpreting these dreams gives you vital information and helps you thrive in the present and your future. And lastly, when times are challenging or you're facing change. So during times of change or challenge, last night's most vivid dream is a good place to start. So now that you've met the candidates for priority interpretation, I'm sure one category or one dream is standing out clearly for you. That's it. That's your starting point. Interpret that dream. So you have your dream. Now let's move to interpretation. And this is a blog I wrote also on the Dream Academy blog roll in February 2019. So if you'd like to actually read it after listening to it, go to the Dream Academy, which is dream-academy-online.com. Go to the blog roll, look up February 2019, which is actually just earlier this month when this was recorded. And the blog is called How to Become an Intuitive Dream Interpreter. When I listen to your podcasts, you seem to interpret dreams so intuitively and accurately. How can I develop my intuition to understand dreams? This comment from an avid listener took me by surprise at first, as I had believed the Dream Show podcast helped demonstrate the tools and techniques people can use to interpret their dreams. But it took only a little contemplation before I realized she was right. I do seem to interpret dreams intuitively because I don't stop and break down the methods I'm drawing upon. I'm far too involved in walking with the dreamer through their dream, opening it up, gently laying it bare, asking questions, supporting them in their exploration, and drawing their attention to the puzzle pieces that fit together to reveal the underlying meaning of the dream. I'm focused on helping the dreamer relate to the dream and find meaningful, helpful, supportive insight they can use to bring more light into their life. Along the way, I occasionally address our listeners as a group, highlighting techniques, pointing out a method they can use when interpreting their own dreams, but only occasionally and never in detail. To do so would be to interrupt the flow of the work with the guest dreamer and to perhaps interrupt the magic of the unfolding for the listeners. So yes, it may indeed seem, as each dream moves from mystery to revelation, that intuition is in the pilot's seat. And maybe it is to some extent. Let's explore. I have received similar comments from people who have submitted their dreams for my bare bones interpretation by email service, where I give an overview interpretation based on reading the dream, with no conversation with the dreamer. The resulting insights into the dreamer's life can seem like magic, or at least like the work of a very strong intuition. So how much is intuition at work here, and how can you deepen your intuition to uncover the meaning of dreams? I looked up intuition in several dictionaries. According to the English Oxford Living Dictionary, intuition is the ability to understand something instinctively without the need for conscious reasoning. Merriam-Webster gives intuition as the power or faculty of attaining to direct knowledge or cognition without evident rational thought and inference. And the Cambridge Dictionary puts it simply as an ability to understand or know something without needing to think about it or use reason to discover it. Back in the very early 1990s, I was drawn into researching dreams when I realized that I seemed to have a bit of natural insight into other people's dreams. I certainly couldn't interpret them anywhere near as deeply as I do now, but I had a leaning towards the material. I could see parallels between people's dreams and their lives and struggles. The language of their individual dreams felt familiar, and I was enticed, though my understanding and abilities were very kindergarten way back then. I thought I had a natural intuitive grasp of the basics, but the scientist in me, because I have an honours university degree in science, thirsted for more. I appealed for help, and hundreds of people came forward to answer my surveys about their dreams, to keep journals of both their dreams and their waking lives, and to do some simple experiments around dreams and dreaming. And from all of this wonderful input, I developed my initial understanding about how dreams related to waking life and to the self, and went on to further develop the methods and techniques that I use in my work with clients, write about in my books, and teach in my online courses. So, I started out with a dash of intuition, then developed methods and techniques to dive deeper into the work of interpreting and analyzing dreams and assisting people in healing and transformation through dream alchemy and dream therapy. So while my methods and techniques are done and dusted and drawn upon in my daily work with clients, how much do I rely on my intuition, and is such intuition a valuable asset in this kind of work? Let's use the done-to-death driving a car example. We're not born knowing how to drive a car. Intuition doesn't really help. You have to learn techniques and methods. First, you learn the basics, perhaps from a book, perhaps from the passenger seat while a driver instructs, or perhaps from the driving seat guided by your instructor. After the basics and a few juddering drives around the block, you learn finer techniques, and then you practice your skills. Then you might, if you are wise, opt to learn advanced driving techniques and skills. After a while, you simply jump into the driving seat and drive. At this stage, would you say you're driving intuitively? If you find yourself in a compromising situation, on a difficult road, challenged by weather or the antics of other drivers, do you slowly think through the techniques you learned a long time ago, or do you take quick, correct action guided by your intuition? Is the source of such intuition magical, or is it your prior learning instantaneously accessed without need for conscious reasoning? If you want to develop your intuition to accurately interpret dreams, begin by learning professional techniques and methods, then practice them and build on them until you are so practiced and so skilled that you no longer need to trawl through conscious reasoning. You can then rely on your intuition to interpret dreams in a similar way to relying on your intuition to drive you safely from A to B. Now, I know the question you're about to ask. Before I developed my methods, before I did my dream research, where did my apparent kindergarten intuition into understanding dreams come from? Well, during my final year at university, I specialized in developmental neurophysiology. I spent that year learning about how the brain and nerves develop before and after birth, how they interconnect, and how the brain interprets our sensory experiences of our world. I was passionate about the subject and read and mused deeply. And when it came to looking at dreams, I would have been partly drawing on this knowledge. I was also always very interested in words and throughout my teenage years, 20s and 30s, passionately interested in finding meaning behind the apparent everyday. Plays on words and seeing connections and patterns in the world must have provided rich material for me to draw upon to intuit connections between people's dreams and their waking lives and deeper selves. So my beginner's intuition for understanding dreams all those years ago was based on learned information and practiced techniques. Not that I understood it at the time. I just thought I had a bit of an intuition into the meaning of people's dreams. In my work today, if I have a very challenging dream to look at and my intuition is not helping out as much as I would like, I go back to basics, trot through the methods, and then bam, there it is, the key to the meaning of the dream. Intuition can, however, misguide us. Since intuition draws on our prior learning, including, of course, everything we have learned about the world through our unique individual life experiences, then we might draw a quick intuitive conclusion based on a false premise, or based on personal experience that blinds us to the actual situation. So here's tip one. The more you can build a strong foundation of reliable knowledge and practice, the more accurate and reliable your intuition around that subject will be. Tip two. Intuition is faster than rational thought. So once you've got tip one under your belt, practice using your intuition to interpret dreams by putting yourself under pressure of time. Do this by making it a game, making it fun. Don't practice it with clients, but do practice it with friends who support your interest in developing your skills. Looking back, I realized that one of the challenges that fine-tuned my intuition for quick but accurate dream interpretation was all the radio work I have done and continue to do over the decades. I have worked countless hours over countless shows where people call into the station to ask me about a dream, and I have only a minute or perhaps two to absorb the dream and come up with helpful insight. I've always regarded this radio work as an opportunity to help people in general to respect their dreams and learn a little more about them. But whether or not I have achieved that, the fast-paced radio work has gifted me sharp intuition simply through practice, practice, practice. Which leads me to tip three. Tip three, practice, 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 and ask for feedback. And finally, here's tip four. When you followed tips one, two, and three, simply show up confidently and in the moment. If you have done all the work, there's nothing left to do but to bring your whole self nicely slept, relaxed, and fully focused, and let your intuition do the rest. And enjoy. So as promised, we started this podcast episode today with ancient history, the ancient Greek healing temples, and we're now going to finish with a modern mystery. So this is a synchronicity story, and I published this one on my other blog roll, which you'll find at janetheresa.com. So there's two blog rolls, one at janetheresa.com and one at the Dream Academy. And this one, a synchronicity story, if you want to read it after listening to it, go to janetheresa.com and find it in December 2018. So because I wrote this in December 2018, it begins with talking about the end of the year. What better way to end the year than with an enticing touch of mystery and synchronicity? It was my birthday last week, and on waking, I decided to begin a synchronicity journal. I have recorded synchronicities from time to time, but it's been a while since I've dedicated a journal solely to these magical experiences, and they've been so abundant recently that I want to honour and reflect upon them. But let's begin with a story of manifestation. As you may know, last month in November 2018, we moved interstate from hot, humid, subtropical Brisbane in Queensland, Australia, to cool, temperate Hobart in Tasmania, about as far south as you can get in Australia. After 24 years of living in Brisbane, this was a big change. The plan was to look for somewhere to lease for the first 2 years, somewhere large enough for us both to work from home. Oh, and a long list of other specific requirements, naturally. We knew that finding what we wanted might be a challenge, as the rental market here is extremely tough. Hobart is a popular tourist destination, and many houses that used to be available for lease are now fitted out as Airbnb accommodation for tourists. People shook their heads. "Good luck with that," they said, somewhat mournfully. So we were prepared to do our best and follow the timing of the universe while living and working from a variety of Airbnbs. "Why is it that you can magic the card you need but not a house?" Michael asked me one evening after we finished playing a round of Quiddler, a fantastic word game if you haven't discovered it yet. I had just admitted that if I focused, I could draw the winning card I needed from the pile. It doesn't always work, but it works so well most of the time that I actually have to try not to do it, otherwise I feel that I'm cheating. We had been house hunting for 4 weeks since our arrival, and while some houses had bits and pieces of what we were looking for, the totally right one hadn't turned up. "Maybe Michael has a point," I thought. "Have I lost my magic touch?" There was a positive side. The whole house hunting and Airbnb hopping exercise was proving an opportunity to see a range of properties and suburbs and experience living and working in some of them. It was enabling us to extend and refine our search to get clearer on what we wanted. "I really fancy having a red front door," I said to Michael one morning as we were out walking, and mentally added it to my written list. So the outcome of phase one of my story is predictable, so I'll hurry it along so we can proceed to the further unfolding of the story, the one laced with mystery and synchronicity. A few days before my birthday, we walked into the house that ticked all our boxes and have now signed the lease. In the end, our search took less than 5 weeks. Yes, of course it has a red front door. More than that, it has two red front doors, each on a different story. Yes, of course it has everything on my original list, and it's wonderfully located, even though we had been beginning to think we would need to live much farther out of the city to get the kind of house we were looking for. So now on to the mystery and synchronicity. When we first visited Hobart in May in 2018, I had felt at home the minute we stepped off the plane. We picked up a rental car, drove to a holiday Airbnb, found a nearby supermarket to stock up on food, and had a quick and healthy bite to eat at a little cafe close to the supermarket car park. Evening was drawing in and we really wanted to move beyond organising practicalities and get into holiday mode. "I was looking at the visitor's book at the Airbnb," I said to Michael, "and someone wrote that the highlight of their trip was visiting Battery Point. Let's go and have a look." Now, I hadn't done any research and pictured Battery Point as an historic artillery remnant. We drove round and round, our GPS insistently and annoyingly telling us that we had reached our destination, when it finally dawned on me that Battery Point was a suburb, not a monument. A beautiful suburb of historic interest and, as it turns out, once the site of a gun emplacement. Now, by now, it was beginning to get dark. We decided to head for the river shore, get some sea air, go for a walk, but again, we seemed to be driving in circles while being told by the GPS that we had reached our destination. "Oh, let's just randomly park the car and walk," I suggested. So we did. then walked a minute or so and found a little beach and all the fresh and windy air and holiday inspiration we could possibly need. Oh, I could live here, I said. So you've guessed it, haven't you? Where we parked the car that day was a few houses away from our new home. And for those of you who don't know Hobart, it's a small city of 220,000 people spread over a large area, so this was quite a feat. Did I manifest our home by saying I could live here that long ago in May, before we'd even decided to move from Brisbane? Or was our destination preordained as declared by our GPS, you have reached your destination? Had I lost my magic touch for our first 4 weeks of house hunting? Or did it just take time for the magic to happen and for the house I had imagined to come up? Or was there a grander plan according to which we needed to experience the alternatives and adjust to our new home state before the house became available? Before we moved here, while we still lived in Brisbane, I needed to choose a suburb for our P.O. box. It turns out the P.O. box is a few minutes' walk from our new home, while the houses we had viewed and considered were spread pretty far and wide from this suburb. The real estate agency that leased us the home is directly above the cafe where we ate our first Hobart meal near the supermarket car park back in May, and we only discovered this after we saw and accepted the house. Now, during this time, I was reading a novel, which was Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver, that featured a woman who collaborated with Charles Darwin. Much of the story plays with the theme of science and God, and whether faith and science can coexist. It turns out that the owner of the house we have leased is studying theology. But that's not all. On the day we signed the lease, we moved into another Airbnb, because it was 4 weeks before we could move into our new house, and amongst the very few books on the bookshelf in that house was a copy of Charles Darwin's The Illustrated Origin of the Species. Now, the last time I read The Origin of the Species was when I was an undergraduate studying zoology at Glasgow University in the United Kingdom. And it was in my final year there that I visited and fell in love with the Orkney Islands off the north coast of Scotland. When we visited Hobart for the first time in May 2018, I very strongly felt much of the magic and mystery of the Orkney Islands. So why do I mention this? At this same Airbnb, the coasters on the coffee table were Orkney souvenirs, each picturing different places in Orkney, places I had visited all those decades ago. So there's a full circle going on here somewhere, and it appears that I have reached my destination. I'm not going to interpret the synchronicities. I want to leave you with the questions, the mysteries, and in doing so, I hope to inspire you to join me in keeping a synchronicity journal. I find that synchronicities run in bursts, then quieten for a period before returning. They are as important to me as dreams. I revel in them and fail to write them down. It's time for a change. Synchronicities can be simple, as simple for me as noticing that everyone who emails me in a day has a name beginning with the same letter. This happens so frequently that I often announce it's a J day or it's an S day. I struggled for years to make sense of this and finally decided the meaning was simply that. There is a pattern, whether or not we know how to read it. Back in the early 2000s, when I ran both a public and members-only dream forum on my website, I also ran a synchronicity forum. We accumulated a wonderful resource of synchronicity stories, and I posted many of my own there. And when we closed the forums after a few years, a technical hitch resulted in losing all those stories. Maybe I'll start another, but first up, I'm off to choose my synchronicity journal. Now I'm smiling because as I read to you just now the last paragraph of that blog, which I wrote in December 2018, it's now 2 months later, and we are now working in the back end of the Dream Academy, which is my online platform for learning how to interpret your dreams, or for learning how to do dream alchemy, or for learning how to become a dream therapist. All those video-led online courses are on the Dream Academy, which you can find at dream-academy-online.com. But right now, in the background, my wonderful technical guru team are working on producing a forum and other social media within that, so that if you sign up to enroll for any of my courses there, in a few weeks when we've really got it the way that we want it to be, you'll find that there will be forums and other stuff there. So while I finished my synchronicity story vaguely sort of saying, oh, maybe I'll start another forum one day, turns out I did, only 2 months later. It's just you've got to wait maybe another month or so before you're able to get in there and enjoy it. So there we go. In a roundabout way, that was from ancient history to modern mystery with a lot of really practical, good, solid dream interpretation and dream tips thrown in there as well. So I hope that you really enjoyed that. As you know, if you've been a long-term listener, or if you don't know, if you've only just tuned in, most of our shows, or perhaps about 70 or 80% of our shows, we feature a guest coming on with a dream. And that guest can live anywhere in the world, and you volunteer to be a guest on the show, so of course it costs you nothing. You put up your hand, or you actually fill in a form on my site, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And then we arrange to call you, and you tell me your dream, and we record from the moment the guest tells me the dream, so that in those versions of the dream show, as a listener, you hear a dreamer tell their dream at the same time as I hear it, and then you witness the whole process of talking with the dreamer, exploring their dream, and helping draw them to understand, interpret their dream, and relate it to their life. So 70 to 80% of our Dream Show episodes are along those lines. And the rest of the time, just for a change, and also in an endeavor to bring you some really sort of hardcore tips and inspirations, we mix things up with an episode like today. So I hope that you've really enjoyed that. If you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, simply go to janeteresa.com. That's Jane Teresa without an H. And you'll find in the menu under podcasts, you'll find in the drop-down box under there how to become a guest on the Dream Show. Otherwise, go to that site or to the Dream Academy at dream-academy-online.com to read my blogs, find out about all the free stuff, interact, or enjoy my services, find out about my consultation services and all the other stuff as well, or find out about my books. So thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. And the next one, episode 215, which is getting very close to our 10th anniversary of The Dream Show, well, that one will be out on the 29th of March 2019, if you're listening to this in real time. Of course, you can always listen to the last 10 episodes of The Dream Show on iTunes, or you can always find every single one of our episodes on janeteresa.com. So loads and loads of listening. I know I'll be speaking with and interacting with some of you between now and then, either through services or through the Dream Academy. And for the rest of you, have a lovely month. And I look forward to speaking with you again on episode 215. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.